speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Tonight I want to present a lesson that I have entitled, God is Merciful. As I think with reference to the mercy of God, I think we find a lot of confusion in the world about God and His mercy and His saving grace. When I think with reference to the mercy of God and in consideration of the denominational world, many in the denominational world feel as if God is merciful to the fact, to the point where He will extend mercy upon everyone and everyone, no matter what type of life they live, no matter how they worship God, that God in His love and mercy will overlook their faults in the end and allow them an eternal entrance into heaven's glory. Friends, that is not in line with what the Bible teaches with reference to mercy. And for that reason, I say that those who are in the world or in the denominations who would hold to such a matter, they need to go back and to examine the Scripture and to see exactly what God says with reference to His mercy. But you know, not only do I find confusion in the denominational world, even amongst brethren, even amongst members of the Lord's church, some people fail to understand the mercy and the saving grace of our God. Many Christians, many who have been baptized into Christ, members of the Lord's church, fail to understand God's mercy to the point to where they look to their life and they say that they're not living good enough, yet at the same time they're doing all that is within their power to do to live according to the will of God. And they do not feel as if they will be able to make it to heaven. They fail to understand the love God has for us. And also, as long as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we maintain our fellowship with Him because we serve a God who is merciful and gracious to His people as long as we are seeking to please our God. What do we find when we think about the mercy of God? What does it all mean? It's one of the greatest themes of the Bible. In fact, in the Old Testament Scripture, oftentimes whenever you read, you will find is that God's mercy is brought forth strictly by those who comprise the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. More specific, though, in a consideration of the New Testament Scripture, we find is that God's mercy is accessed through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read this in Luke chapter 18 and verse 38, where in this context, one is identified as calling upon the Lord, Jesus, to extend mercy unto him. We understand that we are able to come into the contact of God's mercy only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The phrase, His mercy endures forever, is vital. In fact, in the Old Testament Scripture, His mercy endures forever is found some 41 times. If you read from Psalm 136, there are 26 verses there. And in each verse, 26 times, His mercy endures forever is found. I found that most interesting. The psalmist wanted mankind to understand very clearly is that God is a God of mercy. And that God wants man to come in line with His will so that we will be able to have the mercy that God offers unto all of humanity through Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. You know, the Bible also tells us when we think with reference to the mercy and graciousness of God is that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Whenever I consider the idea of Him being the Father of mercies, I believe that that means is that it originated with God. We find individuals in our life today who will extend mercy unto their family members or even unto friends, and on rare occasions, even unto strangers. But yet at the same time, these individuals are not responsible for bringing forth mercy or the concept or the idea of what mercy is. God, our Heavenly Father, is responsible for the introduction of mercy into the world. But also note the context here. He says that He is the God of all comfort. Again, we might be able to find comfort in things of the world. Yet, when we think with reference to what God extends unto us, God is able to give us comfort by knowing that we have His forgiveness through His mercy, and we are involved in a relationship with Him that not only will exist during the time in which we dwell here, but friends, it will be carried into our eternal existence someday in heaven as God's faithful children. Mercy has been said or has been described as a feeling of sympathy that is bestowed upon the misery of another. And while I understand the general explanation as to what they are trying to say whenever they give this definition of mercy, I want us to understand from a biblical context that mercy is more than a sympathetic feeling. Mercy is God's sympathy in concert with His grace. Mercy is the idea that we get what we do not deserve. God is willing to do that. And grace is His bestowing that unmerited favor upon us. And therefore, God looks upon us certainly with sympathy because of the fact that we are sinners who can do nothing on our own accord to earn salvation. He looks at us from a sympathetic manner, and yet at the same time, it's more than a feeling. He takes action to bestow mercy upon us. So when we think with reference to the mercy of God and how it is defined, we get what we do not deserve. And God's graciousness is indeed Him giving that to us because of who He is, conjoined with what it is that we're seeking to do to the glory and honor of His name. But also, I think when we speak with reference to the mercy of God, we need to consider the sovereignty of our God. God is sovereign in granting His mercy and His grace. By this I mean, whatever God wills is right. He alone determines the appropriate course of action. God speaks and He acts without any direction from outside forces, even without any force or direction from humanity. God makes decisions on His own accord, and God is sovereign based out of the decisions that He makes. He's right in making those decisions simply because of the fact that He is God. He has the right to do so because of the fact that He is eternal in His existence, and He is Creator of all things, and more specific to our consideration as it would pertain to us. Friends, He is responsible for the creation of us. And therefore, the things that God would decide, even in the bestowing of His mercy, God is sovereign, right in bestowing His mercy and His grace. The mercy and grace of God go hand in hand. In the book of Romans chapter 5, I would like to read from the context here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 2. To see what the Apostle Paul presents for us with reference to God's mercy and His grace. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of our God." You see, based out of our faith, conjoined with what God extends to us, salvation, by His graciousness, and according to His mercy, you and I are able to stand justified in the sight of our God. And therefore, as we consider God's mercy, we need to understand that they go together. They fit very perfectly into what God identifies as His plan of salvation. And sometimes when we read in Scripture, we find is that individuals do not receive the mercy of God, yet at the same time, others are recipients of God's mercy. And as we think about that, those who say that they want to receive God's mercy, but yet at the same time they do not, and others, though, who seemingly do a similar thing, and yet God is merciful with them, is God right in bestowing mercy upon whomever He desires? Most certainly He is. Take into consideration Moses. Moses was called by God to lead God's people out of their Egyptian oppression. And for the most part, whenever we read early on with reference to this man and his leadership of Israel, he did a fairly good job doing what God had commissioned or commanded him to do. However, later on, after Israel rebelled on a number of occasions, we understand, I think, as we look to Moses, that he was getting frustrated with the people, as well as maybe even himself looking to God as to, God, where are You from time to time whenever I'm having to deal with these people? And therefore, we see from the context of Scripture that at least on this one occasion, it cost him very dearly. where God had told him to speak into the rock, yet at the same time he smote it, and it brought forth water. Yes, it brought forth exactly what it is that he wanted it to do, but at the same time he did not bring glory and honor unto our God. And as a result of what it is that he has done, years later, the Scripture identifies to us is that God called Moses to Mount Nebo. And while he was there, he had him look out over the promised land to survey it or to see it from a distance. But God vowed that Moses would not be allowed to enter into the land of Canaan with the children of Israel. Friends, the Bible identifies to us is that Moses pleaded with God that God would be merciful with him and that God would allow him to enter into that land of rest with his people. But the Bible also tells us that God did not hear him and Moses died. You see, certainly as we look to Moses, he was a good man. But at the same time, God did not bestow his mercy upon him and God was sovereign. God was right in the decision that he made. But then also we read of an individual, a king in fact, Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a death sentence, and in that it was made known unto him that he was going to die. And the Scripture tells us is that Hezekiah pleaded with God that he might live. And the Scripture tells us that God heard Hezekiah's plea. And not only did God hear him, God granted this man 15 more years to live. Why did God do that? Friends, the context of the Scripture does not tell us the whys, but rather that was the decision that God had made. And because God made that decision to bestow mercy upon Hezekiah and not upon Moses, it was God's right to do so. You see, because it is free and because it is not earned, it is God's sovereign right to bestow mercy upon whom He sees fit. Remember what we learn as we read from Romans chapter 5 and verse 15? God reminds Moses, He says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. God is sovereign, and because God is sovereign, He maintains that right to bestow His mercy upon whomever He desires. You know, to those individuals who say that they want to be able to live their life however they so choose and they feel as if, and that's the key there, they feel as if God is going to bestow mercy upon them in the day of judgment, and simply because they are living however they want to, but yet at the same time, there are no consequences for their sins. And friends, at the same time, while they are able to live their life seemingly without any consequences from deity, from our God, the Bible helps us to understand is that there will be a day of reckoning. You see, mercy does not negate the consequences for sin. It may not be immediate that man pays the price for his sin, but the Bible assures us that always there will be consequences for the sins that mankind commits against our God. Take into consideration David. David was defined in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. And isn't it interesting, as you read what the Bible says with reference to David and his relationship with God, is that this was certainly a man who loved God. This was a man of great faith. This was a man who had taken vows before God. This was an individual who sought diligently, instructed Israel to live righteous before God. And he instructed these individuals, also taught them to love and to respect and to honor our God. But what does the Bible teach us with reference to David? Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. This same man who loved God and a man of great faith, he committed the sin of adultery. You know, as I think with reference to David, I can't help also but to consider, to be reminded of Achan, as what we would read of this man in Joshua chapter 7. The children of Israel had been told to come against their enemies in war. Yet at the same time, God told them that they were not to partake of the spoils. They were not to take of the goods back unto them. Achan did not listen to what God said. He had taken of the spoils. And friends, as a result of that, there were great consequences for the sin that this man committed. In fact, the Scripture tells us concerning him, he says, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. Doesn't that remind you of David? David saw, David coveted, he took, and then he tried to hide his sin. Achan paid with his life, and David paid for 20 years with strife in his life, with heartache, and with the loss of his child. You see, when we think with reference to David, David was able to live his life seemingly at times with no consequences, but at the same time, God says there is indeed a price to pay. You see, also we understand with David is that David cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." There's that word we've been studying tonight. "Lord, have mercy on me. Give me what I do not deserve," is what David is saying. And if you read from the context of Psalm 51, verse 1, and following Psalm 85 and verse 7, Psalm 119, verse 77, as well as Psalm 123 and verse 3, David received the mercy of God. Friends, at the same time, David suffered as a result of the sins that he committed. I cannot imagine having to lose a child, but also to having to lose a child simply because of the sin that you had committed against God. And that's what David faced as a result of the sin that he committed against God. And today, for those individuals who think that God's mercy is extended and that mercy will cover anything and everything and you can just go out and live your life however you would so choose to live, friends, tonight, I want to encourage us to think about instances, what we read in Scripture, such as David and Achan and others, where that there was times of reckoning for the sin that they committed in life. You know, as we think with reference to the mercy of God, it doesn't come free. The one who did no sin paid the high price for each and every one of us. The Son of God, who came to this world to represent our Heavenly Father, and the one who came to die for us, he stuck to his guns, if you would. He stuck to the plan that God had for him to die so that you and I would be able to be recipients of God's mercy and His grace by our obedience to the will of God. God's mercy and grace calls us to a higher standard of living. You see, God wants each and every one of us to realign our lives according to the standards of God. It is seemingly a great paradox that Christianity is free, but yet at the same time it's not free. As we said, it costs the Son of God His life. And today, if we want to be covered in and by the mercy of God, to be recipients of His saving grace, it will also cost us our life. It doesn't mean that we die a cruel death on a cross at Calvary, but it means that we live because of our love for God, as well as our understanding or appreciation, rather, of the mercy that we receive as Christians, as children of God. Well, what is it then that God requires of us? We must, as Christians, live sacrificially before our God. That's what we find, is it not, when we think with reference to Christ. Christ lived His life in a very sacrificial way, committed to God. And if we claim to be children of God, then also we ought to align our lives to live according to the same standards that He lived during the time in which He existed here upon the face of the earth. The Bible very clearly tells us that He is our example in all things, and therefore we would do well to seek to emulate those examples of Him during the time of our walk here in this world. You see, as we think with reference to God's mercy, God does not want us to live in fear. He does not want us to live in an anxious way, concerned with the return of Christ, but rather He wants us to live in joy, knowing that because of His love for us, as we are striving each day to live our lives as Christians, is that we have hope. Hope of being able to spend eternity with God in the end. That is, in the end of this world. In eternity with our Heavenly Father. Why? Because of the mercy that He has through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, though, as we think with reference to what God expects or what God does for us, there are also expectations that God lays upon us. As Christians, we have responsibilities. And what are those responsibilities? Mercy demands action on our part as children of God. Our example, we've already said, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we seek to follow the example of our Lord. Those who obtain mercy must also be merciful people. Our mercy, the Scripture says, from God is dependent in part at least upon whether or not we will extend mercy to other people. And somebody might say, well, Kevin, you don't understand. People do me wrong in life and I get so tired of that. And friends, can you imagine how Jesus felt whenever He was here? And people took advantage of the Lord time and time again. And yet at the same time, He is the way in which we are able to receive God's mercy. You see, God says unto us is that as we look to the mercy that we receive, we ought to thank God for that mercy. But at the same time, we need to act accordingly by being merciful unto our fellow man. You see, as we think about our mercy, God deserves thanksgiving for the acts of love that He bestows upon us. To put it short, our attitude needs to be an attitude of gratitude to see what God does through His mercy for us, but also to see what He does just in general every single day of our life. And that in part also I would consider would be a part of His mercy and His love that He bestows upon us undeservingly. And friends, as a result of that, we need to say thanks. I couldn't tell you the number of people who have done things for me and Dawn and for our family throughout the years. And one thing that we always try to do, and I know many of you also, all of you, I would hope, also do that. When somebody does something good for us, what do? We go and we extend ourselves to say, I thank you for what it is that you have done. And a lot of times we will bend over backwards to make sure that they understand how appreciative we are for the great thing that they have done for us. And friends, if we're like that with one another, shouldn't we above all extend a thanksgiving to our God for His mercy and His saving grace? We ought to do that without end. You know, as I think with reference to God's mercy, also I believe that there's a lesson here that God wants us to understand. We can indeed walk away from the mercy and the grace of God. The Bible tells us in very clear language that it's not once saved, always saved. And for this reason, as we think about the mercy that we receive by God, from God, through Christ, we must not allow anything to take precedence over Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to stay focused, working continually, growing as a Christian, as well as engaging in the various works of the church so that God will be glorified and also the church will increase as a result of our participation as a member of the local body. You know, God is indeed merciful. And tonight, those individuals who might be amongst us who have not yet been recipients of the mercy of God, we want to encourage you to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. We also want to encourage you tonight to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that God will forgive you in your obedience and then add you. The Lord will add you into His kingdom this very hour. It may be that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling with sin and therefore stand in need of the prayers of the righteous. Tonight we will pray with you and for you. We want you to go to heaven as much as we ourselves want to go to heaven. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation and we can help you in any way, please come as